Coming up on today's episode, the ISS gets a little crowded, your Tesla is spying on you, and a monkey plays ping pong with its mind. We have the video. Let's get ludicrous. Hey there, and welcome to Our Ludicrous Future. This is the podcast where we talk about all the cool future stuff happening today that's going to make tomorrow totally ludicrous.
Hey. That's like a normal thing.
It's the most straightforward thing I've ever done. I'm Joe Scott with the Answers of Joe YouTube channel. With me, back home in Studio A. We haven't figured out what he called this anymore, but Tim Dodd.
Yeah, hi, it's me, Tim Dodd, the Everyday Astronaut, in Earth Studio A. And with half the stuff not working because I accidentally left half of the stuff that I need in Texas. So you might see things like my face being green and bars flashing randomly at the top like that, perfectly right on cue. Thank you very much. And with us is Ben Sullins.
What's up, guys? It's Ben Sullins from the Our Ludicrous Future podcast. And we are here today with our Discordian family, as always. Hey, guys. Not thank you.
Wow, for your
thank
patience.
You all. Today's been extra.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording Sean, an hour and Trevor. 40 minutes. Well, 25 hours and 40 minutes late, really, because I had to push back a day because of travel. And then... Mm-hmm. Another hour and 40 to get scrambled together some things. Luckily, my neighbor, Ben Steinman, good friend of mine, is also a tech nerd. So he saved my butt with like three different things that I left at the studio.
How many dongles are you using right now?
All the dongles?
It just sounded like he was like, oh, you need this one. You need that one. Oh, how about this? Plug this into this. And here we go.
All the dongles. So.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Zoom bonked my the way that I connect my Blackmagic to this to the computer, and yeah, I didn't have another option, so
Ben
saved my butt.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us again. Discord, how are you? And if you guys, we're going to talk about some fun stuff, some crazy things happening in the world that's going to make our future totally ludicrous. And if you just want to jump directly to those things, you can check out the timestamps in the description below. Or if you're on YouTube, you should see a little bar there. Also, while you're there, get on our email list. Get these direct to your email so you don't have to depend on the algorithm. He's not reliable, by the way. And you can just get it directly emailed to you. Go over to olfpod.com. And sign up as well while you're there. If you want to check out Patreon and be one of these cool cats or kittens that gets to listen and watch live, you can do so at olfpod.com/Patreon. So thank you all for joining. And let's
thanks
begin.
To the people on Discord for waiting 25 hours for us to start this thing.
That was very dedicated of you.
Yeah.
We just need to have like an alert of like, you know, where like a where's Waldo, but like where's Tim right now? Because and then it'll be like, oh, he's on the road, so we're going to do it tomorrow instead.
Yeah.
So, how was the drive, by the way? You just got your car back, right? So it's all repaired and everything?
I got my Tesla back after 79 days of, of being in service. So I am very, 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 very excited about that. And apparently I can't share my screen. I was going to show you. Oh, here, I'll make one of you guys do this. The problem I didn't realize. So this, my car had to be repaired in San Antonio, 5 hours away from basically where I am in South Texas, and 18 hours from home. That's the only repair shop that can like. It's not a Tesla repair shop, but it's a certified Tesla repair shop, right? So it's like this independent repair shop. It took, after about an hour and a half, well, right when I got in the car up on the highway, I realized, oh, the windshield's kind of whistling. Realize it's really whistling, really bad. Like, especially when you're going 80 miles an hour, it's extremely loud whistle. And then the worst part is the left mirror also does not work at all. The like power fold or the, you know, power tilt. Pan tilt thing does not work at all.
Like where it folds in when you're going into a tight spot kind of thing, or adjusting so you can actually get it where you need it to go.
Both.
God. So what you got to do is you got to sit in the driver's seat, look at it, go around, tap it to get it just right. Go back around, look at it, go back.
Yeah. No, luckily it is the driver's side one, but I don't think you should probably be manually cranking on it. I don't know. But that just bums me out. I don't know. And I told him, like, many times I'm like, listen, I'm going to be driving through and then driving this car across the country. So please make sure it's perfect. Like, it's been 79 days, people. Please make sure it's just nothing wrong. Like, extra care. I can't just pop it back into the shop. They're like, yeah, absolutely. We've done a full checkout. Like, yeah, I'm sure you have, but please double check, you know? And so what's going to probably likely happen, Tesla actually called me today then. And basically said, like, hey, we're working on a solution for you. And Tesla's also going to pay for the rental car extra amount of time, because since I had to pay out of pocket for after 30 days, because it was their parts that were delayed, they're actually going to pay for that, I guess. That's good.
That's cool.
Nice.
They do care. And he was reassuring me. He's like, trust me, we know people like think of us as having bad service. He's like, we are really, really working hard on reversing that. We have opened up way more shops, like doubled the amount of shops in the last year. He said, you know, this was extra bad because of the power outage and all that stuff in Texas, ruined a lot of our parts supplies and stuff like that. And he's like, so we're working on getting back on track. I just don't want you to lose faith in us, and we want to make sure it's right. I'm like, well, I haven't lost faith, but
you're like, well, we're getting close. I don't know.
your new side mirrors in the Suez Canal right now.
Isn't that, I think that was Elon's main focus 2 years ago or something, right? Was service or something. It was like, I'm going to make sure that's my number one priority. And then it was like, actually Model Y and Cybertruck.
Right.
Like, after this. And then after this.
Yeah.
But after
something.
This. We're
gonna... Yeah.
Yeah. There is always something. That's the problem. It's like they're growing too quickly. You know, they can't even keep up with themselves. You know,
it's the game of whack-a-mole. You know, I've only ever worked at one business that did it like the way I feel is the best way, which is like you think of every aspect of the business has to grow like at the same pace. Otherwise, what you end up with is this, what the, you know, the game of whack-a-mole, where you have too many sales, not enough customer service, or too much customer service, not enough sales, or, you know, like the way we set goals in corporations a lot of times don't really, it's usually like, oh, we want to increase sales, and we don't care about any other part of the business, or like customer service is really bad. Let's work on customer service. And you're like, yeah, but now we need more sales for that. So like trying to balance
to
that out is not typical. And so Tesla, I mean, I don't know if Tesla could have, I think they could have done better, but I don't know how much better, because if you think about it, they're just growing at such an insane rate. And it was almost like taking like an airplane taking off. Like you have to get up to speed, otherwise you're not going to make it. Right. So,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, hopefully they'll be able to resolve that. Cause yeah, that's definitely annoying. And I mean, for someone like me, it's been a Tesla owner for a while now. I remember how it used to be. And that's why I'm so like bummed about all these stories I hear, and even my own, you know, stories and your stories. So hopefully they can get that resolved. Now, well, on your drive though, did you feel like you were being watched?
Why? Yes. Yes. I had this extra looming feeling.
Because apparently they're watching you. I can't share my screen, but maybe someone can. There's...
Okay, I gave everybody permission to record their screen.
Ben,
usually that's my fault.
He has this weird donkey screen thing.
No, I can't. It's because I'm sharing to Discord, okay? One of you monkeys has to do it. All right.
It's not... I got it. I got it now. I fixed my stuff.
So, Green the Only, the hacker, Tesla hacker on Twitter. If you guys don't follow him, absolutely go do it. Really fun, interesting stuff that he posts. Probably to me, the most interesting stuff, right? Like at this point, that's what I'm really interested in. There's some guy out there, I don't know who this guy is, that was able to tap into what the interior camera inside of his Tesla was identifying. So the way this works, underneath it all is a system called computer vision. It's an area of artificial intelligence, right? And it's the part of it that tries to teach a computer how to identify objects and what it's seeing. And then you apply that to video. It's basically the same concept, but applying it, you know, to tons of frames happening, but the same concept, right? And so this guy has it running on the screen. And if you hit play on that little Twitter video there, you'll see what it's identifying here. It's identifying the driver's eyes. Is he looking down? Is he wearing sunglasses? Is he on the phone? Is the camera blinded? There's all these different indicators as to what the interior camera is seeing.
Whoa. And we need to read these. Like, driver's eyes, nominal. I should say nominal.
Phone use. So it's like when he's looking down at his phone, it says phone use.
Phone use 100%. Yep. And then I think it also says if he has his phone in his... Yeah, what does it say there when he has it up to his ear? Driver's eyes, nominal.
Yeah, no. And then sunglasses, eyes, likely.
Yeah.
Driver eye down. Driver head down.
Something truncated.
Yeah, camera blinded, camera dark, driver head. That's cool, though.
So let's just pause and have one very quick tangent here. I remember Lex Friedman
mm-hmm.
Saying that algorithms on YouTube can't figure out what's in the video, so it's hard for them to have something. That's wrong. The technology we have today can very much identify what's happening in videos. And here is just one example of it. There are countless examples of this online. There's folks out there that are really upset about Tesla with autopilot saying, oh, you need driver monitoring. Well, clearly you do. And here is that, right? And here is kind of this. This is the first time I've seen what the computer is actually seeing inside of it, not just this view of it, because I think we've seen this view. And I think he goes on, there's actually a YouTube video as well attached to this a little bit down below, where he goes on to see, try to trick it. So he like tapes up a picture of himself, and he has a picture of Elon's head while he's sitting in the back seat and stuff. It's pretty cool. But the interesting thing, you know, there's kind of two things here. One is, yeah, this system I don't know if it's activated for everybody. I don't think we have official word on that. But definitely some of the people that had the FSD beta got kicked out of it because they noticed they weren't paying attention while driving. And then in China, this was a big concern because the Chinese government that has Teslas were like, hey, are you spying on us? And Tesla had some official statement basically saying, no, we're not. But, you know, that's... like, how do you verify that? It's like, you know, so there's a lot of questions there. But I just thought this was a really interesting look into what the future of inside of a Tesla anyway, driver monitoring and, you know, self-driving to an extent could be.
Well, this is interesting to me because I'm thinking of Super Cruise specifically, but some of these other self-driving or autonomous systems, they've had like the camera that looks at your eyes to make sure that you're looking at the road and everything. And Tesla's always relied on the, you know, yank the steering wheel into the Mack truck that's driving next to you thing.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of fascinated that they're actually, you know, kind of doing that. So how is this being used?
Yeah, right.
Just
now
internally
Right now, I don't think we have an official word on what Tesla's using this for, other than monitoring people on the FSD beta program, which we just know of because people were kicked out of it for this reason, for not paying attention while driving. And so I very much think that in the future, as they become more autonomous, not just driver assist, but more autonomous, this will be a key part of that system until it becomes completely like you can just be in the back seat, you know. And again, you know, really, like, for people that are maybe newer or unfamiliar with this, take everything Elon says with a grain of salt in terms of timelines. Like, if you remember, by this time, actually, last year, we should have had 1 million robo-taxis on the road up and running. So, you know,
in the year before that, we were supposed to have a drive from, you know, California to New York or whatever. Or was that 2018?
That was 2016.
What?
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
He said in 2017 they would have that the car would automatically drive. And then later he walked it back and said, well, we could just hard code it, but we want it to like really be the real thing. And everyone's like, dude, just hard code it. It would still be awesome. You know, like, like, who cares if you hard code it? It would still be amazing. So just when we see these things, I think some people have a tendency, you know, all of us have a tendency to jump to, sweet, it'll be here next month. But really we're still a long ways away from this being a truly hands-off, you know, sleeping in the back of the car while it takes you somewhere, system. But if you are one of those people that is looking, that believes it will be here next month, I am selling my Model Y for $250,000. You're welcome. That's a steal off of the amount of money it can make you. So it just, you know, hit me up on Twitter and I'll get you going on that. So you know. But I just thought that was neat. I thought that was a really cool development because it's more behind the scenes of what's actually happening.
Yeah. I have to say, I don't know. I'm definitely realizing how big of a hurdle this all is. And even just the amount of stuff that goes into double checking that drivers are paying attention, it seems like there's still just so much to figure out here.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I mean, we've talked about this before, but the more this sort of progresses and the more you start thinking about like how do you teach a computer to think like a person, like there's just so much that we rely on intuition for. And there's still like a cognitive process going on in there. It's just we're not familiar with it. We're not aware of it. It's just it all happens under the surface. And I think about that now when I'm driving and just the little things, just the little cues that I pick up on that affect the way I drive, whether I go, whether I don't go, you know, how fast I turn the wheel or whatever. And I don't know how you get a computer to learn that, you know. It's like when you really break it all down, it gets so complicated. And it's like, yeah, I think we'll get there, but it's going to take a lot longer than we all think it is. Like to get to where we are right now is like probably the easiest part in getting from here to full robotaxi things.
It's Pareto's law, right? The 80-20 rule. We've definitely got 80% there, right? If not more for 20% of the effort. But that last 20% is going to be decades long, I think, honestly. I don't know if we'll ever get to actually full level 5. Like I think the jury's still out on that one, you know? So level 4 would be it given the right conditions, it can drive itself, right? Mm-hmm. Given, it's not snowing in a blizzard or something like that, right? Level 5 is like, it can drive in any condition. You know, I don't have GPS, I don't have internet, I don't have half my sensors, whatever. Like, you know, I don't know if we'll ever truly get there, but...
I think if all the cars were autonomous...
Yeah.
And it wasn't like people driving, like cars interacting with people and they could all communicate with each other. And I mean, obviously you could avoid accidents if the cars know that they're heading toward each other and everything. I mean, that's sort of a cheat, I guess. But I feel like that is more likely than having humans and robo cars driving together. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you could snap your fingers and make all of them be able to talk to each other.
Right.
Yeah, that would be
great.
And
talk with the stoplights and talk with the...
Yeah.
Light poles and all the, you know, see around corners and stuff like that. I've always thought that'd be something pretty pertinent. I will say last thing on this topic, last thing for me at least, if you guys have anything, I'm not putting an end on it. I would love
we're done.
I would love to be able to, if they add an app that would allow you to stream from the car, you know, at first while parked using this camera, using the microphones, you know, you could even punch a show inside the car and be able to like use the exterior cameras.
What do you mean?
You know, it'd be like
stream from the car.
It's like be on YouTube and stream on YouTube
from the cameras.
From the cameras. But they're like so crappy. You wouldn't want that.
Not that bad. Look at this one of green. It's not bad.
It's like 1.2 megapixels.
Oh, just mount your
man.
GoPro the old-fashioned way.
But think about how much cool stuff you could do actually running a show, and like you could even share your screen and everything. You know, like it. It could be really cool.
I can imagine. Who was it? Was it like Batman or something? Where he like turned every cell phone into like he had like access to every cell phone's audio and video
sonogram
at the same time, so you could like see everything. Yeah, I could totally envision
that. And
that's
when Lucius walked away. That was a step too far.
I am a little worried about the security though. I mean, obviously, thankfully they implemented the two-factor authentication now, which if you guys don't have that on, absolutely turn two-factor authentication on. Otherwise, literally someone can steal your car with your username and password, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. But I recall, you know, I mean, just getting on that topic, I guess, but like I went to the service center one time and I was taking Jenny's car and I didn't have the key card, right? The actual thing to give them to take my car in. Mm-hmm. But they were like, as long as it's close enough to parked close enough to the service center, they can just unlock it remotely themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you can literally just like control any Tesla, like as long as it has an internet signal or it's close enough to your Wi-Fi. Like that seems like a big security risk. Cause then now I don't need Tim's username and password or Joe's. I just need the Tesla one. And how much you want to bet it's something like, you know, Elon's the greatest 123 pound sign or something. You know what I mean? Like it's probably something so dumb. I don't know. Maybe that's
just
me being
pound sign.
Yeah. Do you know what a pound sign is? The number sign? Sorry.
Yeah, the hashtag.
Jesus. Sorry. For those of us that
get
are
with it.
Those of us that are software engineers. Anyways. Yeah, you know, so it's a really interesting future, and Tesla is I just love this kind of stuff because they are really pushing it way further than anyone else. I mean, I've driven and tested almost every other advanced car like this you can think of, and Tesla is still so far ahead. You know, so there's some really good ones out there otherwise, but in terms of this stuff, I don't see anyone touching them whatsoever.
So remember when the Model 3 first came out and people discovered that little camera underneath the rearview mirror, and everybody's like, what is this for? Why is this here? And there was speculation it was so you could keep an eye on your car when there was a autonomous ride sharing kind of thing.
Yeah
and it's like that is one thing that I, even if it takes way longer than we all were hoping for or whatever, the fact that they were they built it what, 3-4 years ago now?
2018 is when they were being delivered, so
right,
designing- 17.
Oh,
so
right.
The year before that was when they designed it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like 4 years ago, they were like thinking someday we're going to want a camera there for XYZ reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that they were thinking that far ahead is impressive to me. And that's one of the things I like about the company.
Total side note on 2017. So just for fun, when I was at a supercharger, I was like, I wonder how much used Model 3s are. You know, like what are they worth? Mm-hmm. I was shocked that still like a 2018 base Model 3 you can't hardly get for under 40. It's insane. I don't know why. I don't know if there's a lot of extra demand now for the used market and it's just like inflated, but it is like ridiculous.
Good thing I only paid almost 70 for mine.
I mean, I paid 68, I think.
Yeah,
and you shouldn't have paid 70. I have a performance model.
Was 68
with full self-driving.
So was 68 before taxes and fees and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think mine was like 60. I think mine came to 68 after taxes and fees, which were like $5,000 or $6,000. So I think mine was like.
But then there's a $7,500 tax credit,
which I didn't get to take advantage of, which sucked.
Right.
Taxes.
But, okay. Still, I mean, I still couldn't for a luxury car like that, that's actually quite reasonable depreciation.
Yeah,
it's actually so okay. I keep cars for a really long time. That was my plan with this one, and it still is the plan. The value of it has been a question mark for me, because for one thing, it's still an expensive car, and it's sort of the vanguard of where cars are going and whatnot. But also, I mean, they've already got Model 3's out with longer range than mine. You know, like they're already iterating higher levels of performance than what I bought for less money. And so I'm like, it's almost like a computer, like a computer that you spend $5,000 on, 10 years ago is like nothing compared to computers now. And
yeah, it is the exact same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's holding its value is interesting is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but you're right. They themselves hurt the depreciation because they keep dropping the price on newer ones and stuff like that. And it's but I would say probably, I could look at the data or I could just speculate, which is way easier. But chances are, if you buy it a year or two after it comes out, you're going to get a much better deal. Right. Yeah. Like if you bought it for 45 and a couple in 2018, 2019, and now it's 40, that's great. But if you bought it for 70 and now it's 40, I mean, that's not terrible, but that's like standard, I would say. Right. That's like maybe a 2 or 3% better. I think Autolist.com did a thing on this actually, and they found like it holds its value better, but that was like it was like marginally better. But certainly, right. Yeah, if you were to buy one like today, a standard range Model 3, that I would imagine can last, a lot longer. But I, my stance is like, unless your job is to review cars and you need to buy them, like like me, if you're not in that position, I would never buy a used car or a new car. I would always buy used, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, even 1 year makes a huge difference.
Right, right.
What do they say, like 15% of the value disappears the second you roll off the lot?
Yeah.
When you buy a new car,
it depends what's
probably
brand,
higher than that.
Yeah. Anyways,
Well, should we talk about, there's something that I'm really looking forward to that's coming up this week that I want to make sure people are paying attention to.
Ooh.
And yes, it's, this is something that we're, I think should all be excited for. This is the first time that we're going to have aerodynamic flight on another planet.
Ooh.
So, of course, Mars's Ingenuity, well, the Ingenuity helicopter that that launched with Perseverance has been officially lowered and is standing on the surface of Mars ready for flight. Now, I want you to notice something. Notice the flight data is they're hoping to launch it on April 12th. Now, think about that. What else happened on April 12th? That is Yuri's night, my friend. That is the same. That's the first time a human went into space was on April 12th. It's also the first time the space shuttle launched was April 12th. And now it's going to potentially be the first time aerodynamic flight has happened on another world. So that is super, super cool.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know if they did that on purpose. Like, guys, let's just do this on Yuri's night. You know,
is that a shot of
April 12th thing? That is an actual photo.
I can't really see it.
From Perseverance on the surface of Mars.
It looks so strange. Where are the blades?
I like how they just use golf clubs for legs.
I'm telling you, it's the easiest way to find water.
Oh, that's the best joke of the day. Sorry, go ahead.
So the blades right now are... the rotors are kind of... parallel to the camera right now, so they're up and down. You can't really see them,
yeah,
like as easily. They're the carbon fiber, yeah.
Okay,
here I'll show you. They also did a spin test of them, so you can see a little bit here. There's looking at it, just a little bit of a wobble. You barely see this low quality video. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
they shot that with a Tesla camera.
Yep.
So I'm just really, really, really excited about this. That we're actually getting ready. To see, you know, I don't know. So I just can't wait. I cannot wait to see the videos of this. Oh, yeah. Here's a cool video. This is awesome. Look at Perseverance. There's this little GIF of it.
Taking a selfie.
Using my pet.
Yeah. Using it. So it uses its, the mask cam was kind of looking down at it. I had a baby. You know, like,
look at my baby. My flying baby.
It's so cool. And then it took a picture of itself with the helicopter. It's just. So awesome.
It's called a groupie when there's multiple people in a shot, right?
Yeah, you're right.
But I like that. They give it that personality.
That is about the coolest thing to think about, just that that is a totally different planet. And the weirdest thing for me is I've been like 15 feet away from this thing in real life, the helicopter.
Mm.
It was sitting there and right before it basically got integrated, and I not even like glass in between it. Like I was just there. I could just see it. Right there on this little table, and just to be there and see it right in front of my own eyes, I remember sitting there thinking, this thing's going to take off and fly around on Mars, and I'm looking at it right now. And then now that's like, oh, it's insane. Now it's on Mars and it's going to fly around. I don't know. That just makes me really
How long is it going to fly for again? Like 5 minutes or something?
Like 30 seconds.
Oh, what? Really? Yeah. And will it recharge? Because they have multiple hops, right?
Yeah, they're hoping to get 3 hops out of it.
Do we know why it was such a short flight time? I mean, I'm sure that's still great, but I'm just wondering if like
I think it might be able to do up to 2 minutes if I remember right. But the first one's going to be really short.
To 5 hops.
Yeah, the battery. So this thing has to really have these rotors screaming, you know,
because there's no atmosphere,
the atmosphere is so thin, 1%.
Right. Yeah.
So they really have to have they have to be going very, very. Very, very fast. So it has a, you know, pretty limited size battery, you know, in order to be able to lift itself and all this stuff. And then it has to carry around its own solar panels on top of it all. So it's just quite limited, you know.
They need like the MagSafe thing. So like imagine what's the new rover called? Perseverance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine it could just like set up a solar farm. Like it just drags it behind it and they're all laid out. And then like the helicopter can just like, it's magnetic, like MagSafe. It just like lands on top of it and it like attaches and then it charges and then it can fly off.
Sweet.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if there's a way, because that's why you wouldn't do that, right? Because it's like, oh, well, having a robot plug a thing in can be like, if that doesn't work, then you're hosed. So But I wonder if removing
the solar panels from it would free up a lot of mass. I'm sure
future iterations
of it will likely have a charging infrastructure on the ground, just so you're not having to carry that around for flight, you know?
You know what's funny, too? Someone, and I know we're not getting into why don't they just yet, but someone asked me about those water panels I have on my roof and if they would work on Mars. And because they just take humidity out of the air. And if you look, it says Mars has like 90% humidity, but there's no, like the hydrogen and oxygen are not present in that humidity. So I was always kind of wondering about that. Like the atmosphere, like the gases that are in the air there, if you can still call it air, are not the same to do, you know, to make up that actual water or whatever.
Hmm. How does it have a humidity if it doesn't have...
That's what I was wondering. I was so... Because he reached out on Twitter and I was like, well, it needs humidity and whatever. And he's like, but here, check out this link. It has 95% humidity or something. And I'm like, but what is that made of? Because it's definitely not hydrogen and oxygen. Because
well,
if it was...
mostly carbon dioxide.
If it was a technology like this, not exactly the same panels I have on my roof, but something like that would be a easy solution. Right, you literally just like pop it out there and bam, it starts collecting water. But I don't believe that there's hydrogen in the atmosphere.
I don't know. Oh, so Rich in Discord is saying humidity is a measure of the saturation of the atmosphere.
Okay, right.
Saturation with what though?
I'm guessing.
I mean, because it's always 100% saturated with something. Otherwise, you're in space. Right?
Fair. Well, I don't know, but should we stop talking about stuff we don't know about?
Oh, anyways, I was just thinking about that with the helicopter trying to fly. So,
yeah, we'd have to end our episode now.
We'd have to end this whole podcast.
More to come on that in the future. Speaking of more to come, is there anything else that is coming out of the tower, Tim? Anything that's rolling out anywhere?
Well, you kind of mixed two stories there, and I love it. I love you for that.
All right.
So yesterday, or I guess this was, what, Thursday? I don't know days anymore. Days, times, nothing exists. We had a rollout of, this is NASA Space Flight's footage of the SN-15, Starship SN-15 rolling out. Now notice there's something pretty obvious about this one. What do you guys see that looks pretty different?
A lot of heat panels.
The stripe in the middle. It's a striped design. It's a zebra.
This baby is definitely loaded up with a lot of heat shield tiles. I think they're up to almost 900 tiles. But the funny thing is that's only 5 or 10% of the like leading, you know, the belly. And it's still almost 1,000. There's gonna be a lot of heat shield tiles on there.
You know, it's funny, like, with all the focus on the engines and the kickflip and the landing and everything, they have been adding more of those every single flight.
People don't really
talk about it very much.
Every flight. They basically have doubled it. Let me actually find on Twitter, I saw, or maybe it was Reddit or something. Give me 1 second here. I'll try and find this. But someone did a really good comparison of the number of heat shield tiles on every single different vehicle, and it's really with really good estimates. Here we go, first thing right here.
And so that just means it's going to be flying higher, right?
No, not yet, because if you're really worried about actually protecting the body from experiencing heat, you have to have the whole body covered anyway.
Right? Just, okay.
Yeah. So this is just testing mostly the manufacturing and the hold downs of the tiles, making sure that they're doing their job. So this is really cool. This shows, this is posted by you. Asimov was right. Ooh, I like that. Asimov was right on Reddit. Thank you for posting this. I saw this and it made my day, because look at SN8 only had 11 tiles on it. Look at that. I mean, that is nothing now. SN9 had approximately 73. SN10 had about 246, and then it kind of spread out. And same with SN11 had a couple different patches of them like this. Mm-hmm. Of 384, and then SN15 has around 829 ish. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, and Trevor is in Discord is reminding me that they aren't all the same size. They're practicing with some that are a little bit smaller and different shapes, probably for the tapered bits. Because there's going to have to be some slightly, unique variances.
It's like when you go get different paint samples and you just like do a little patch on the wall, right? And you just see what it looks like. That's basically what they're doing.
Exactly.
And then you launch your house into the sky and let it fall to the ground and explode.
Yep. Yep.
No, that's exactly right.
A couple of thoughts that I had looking at that was, I wonder how much of that has to do with, or the buildup of it has to do with the extra mass that those would provide.
Right.
I mean, one side of the ship is going to be heavier than the other side.
Right. Which is, it is good that it's the leading, you know, the belly side, because for as far as aerodynamics go, if the vehicle wants to always, you know, fall heavy end first, and the drag, you know, so the center of mass will always want to be in front of the center of lift or center of drag. So having the belly actually be the heaviest portion, and, you know, when fuel is sitting down at the, you know, leftover fuel instead of sitting down at the belly, it will help keep it wanting to be oriented belly first. That's good. But it is interesting that it will probably be a substantial amount. I mean, I'm sure these are going to end up being several, you know, 5 to 10 tons worth of heat shield.
Yeah. Does that?
I don't know the exact amount, but
I'm not quite sure how they're going to do this. I'm sure they've got an idea, but like where the flaps are, I mean, to articulate like that, there's got to be a little gap right there. So how do you protect that from the heat?
Tesla knows how to make gaps in things. Easy.
I bet the gap on one side is like twice as big as the other side.
That's always a good, you know, we don't really have the answer to that other than, you know, they could have a little extra overlap or something to with some additional heat shielding, or this could be where we might see little bits of transpirational cooling where they actually do allow some of the fuel to leak out at those joints or something where it is hard to cool it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the crazy thing is, you know, those things move a lot and quickly. But the space shuttle also had joints in it too. You know, it had ailerons and all those, you know, surfaces, control surfaces on the Delta wing, as well as doors for the landing gear, that all were covered in heat shield tiles. So it's
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, does that affect takeoff very much? Like, you know, does the engine have to gimbal at all differently, or your azimuth or whatever? Does it, like, if one side is super heavy compared to the other?
It would slightly, like it would vary slightly, especially when it's distributed like this across the whole vehicle. It would very slightly have to probably fly a tiny bit at an angle.
Yeah.
Because the center mass is going
to be
slightly
offset.
Right,
because otherwise it's just going to want to go that way or something, right?
It could, yeah. And that's a very easy thing for the engines to compensate for.
Got it.
Yeah. And as a matter, but, you know, if you think about it, maybe even having the flaps just tucked back would almost negate that center of mass issue.
Kind of balance,
you know,
it out.
Almost balance it out, because that's a decent amount of weight pretty far out there at the end of the tips there. So I don't know. Well, it'll be really curious. But I don't think we'll see it. Like it won't be like totally drifting through space, you know, because remember this eventually won't be taking off at all on the ground. It'll be riding on the booster. So it'll only be lighting its engines in the vacuum of space. Basically.
Now the booster won't have this same heat shield because it's not going to reach orbit, right? It'll come back before.
Correct.
Right.
Yep. It'll be following a very similar trajectory to a Falcon 9 when it's coming back for a return to launch site landing.
Yeah. And then
very
bear
similar,
hug,
and
you know
exactly. And they're hoping to not even have any heat shield tiles even on the base, and they don't want to do an entry burn. They want to negate all that because stainless steel has a lot higher melting point than aluminum. They should be able to just completely avoid a re-entry burn, which is insane, but that'd be really cool.
So it literally just falls into position, you know, and has
basically, and then we'll light landing engines for the landing burn, but then still get caught, which you just mentioned.
Yeah,
to clarify, there's a entry burn as it's coming into the atmosphere way up high, and then there's a landing burn at the last second before it lands.
For the Falcon 9, but the Super Heavy is hoping to negate the entry burn.
Right. I just want to make sure people understood we're talking about the right thing.
It'll still have grid fins, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. That's how it'll aim.
So, steer. And this is... So, Tank Watchers on Twitter noticed that there is a new FAA filing confirming that SpaceX is planning to build a launch and catch tower for Super Heavy booster. The tower will be located at Boca Chica. So this is saying, the quote here is, SpaceX is proposing a 469-foot tall launch tower. Think about that. Hang on, how many is feet to meters? I mean, that is 142 meters tall. That's
50-story building, right?
Yeah, almost. I mean, that's huge. That's huge.
Jeez.
So that's how big the tower will be with a 10-foot tall lightning, so a three-meter tall lightning rod compared to the 469. Like, that's nothing. They're building this in order to lift its new rocket and booster onto the launch mount and to catch the super heavy booster upon return. The tower will be constructed out of steel structural steel trusses to allow the mechanical arms to lift vehicles.
I just don't even know. I can't even picture what this is going to look like, man.
Elon says just one skyscraper catching another, no big deal. And then laughs.
I mean, what if it and misses someone... and just destroys the tower? I feel like this is like, I don't know.
It'll be, you can make this as heavy and beefy as you want because it's not going to space. You can make the tower stupid heavy, right? And big and bulletproof, basically. So they'll probably will, you know, because there's a good chance they're going to bonk into it and crash
BFT,
it.
BFT, right?
Yeah. So Jordan Rieger on Twitter says, how do you plan on doing that? By the grid fins? And Elon says, load points just below the grid fin. So apparently there will be a decent structural load point in the booster right below the grid fins, I guess. So and then Elon goes on to say, shock absorption is built into the tower arms. Since the tower is ground side, it can use a lot more mass to arrest the booster's downward momentum, which is super cool.
And so, the purpose of this, again, versus just landing how they land Falcon 9s now?
I think it's a couple things. One, if you can catch it and land it and just set it right back down on the pad, you really can have a really quick turnaround time to refly, as opposed to, you know, landing on landing legs and picking it up and taking it over to the tower, you know, retracting the landing legs and stuff like that. You also free up a lot of mass. It actually, you know, it's one of those things that... saying it out loud sounds insane.
Yes.
And it is. And then you do start thinking about it. And you go, you know what? I mean, realistically, like, it's doable.
And it will still have a landing burn, though?
It will have a landing burn, yeah. So it's not like it's catching it going, you know, 200 meters per second or something. It's not like it's...
Why? <Yeah. laughs> Why? Why have a landing burn? Come on, have faith. Just make it better.
Make the tower, you know, 10 times taller and just slow it down.
Exactly. Yeah, just have it like an elevator, like almost like a ride, like a roller coaster ride, you know, where like the Tower of Terror just, kind of a thing.
Just a chute that it falls into.
Yeah.
Or
like a cone and then...
Just repurpose Arecibo, right? Just make it like a big ball pit for rockets or something.
Oh, yeah. There we go. So that's... I still think that's super cool, and it's fun to see more details, and it's fun to see. I've always been worried personally that they're not actually going to build a real full orbital everything, infrastructure, and landing infrastructure there at Boca Chica, because I still have a lot of doubts that they'll ever be able to land at Boca Chica. Because think about how loud those sonic booms are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcon 9 sonic booms are pretty substantial. But I guess I've been 5 miles away from them. They don't break windows, you know. They're not that loud. Mm-hmm. But this thing's a lot bigger. It's a lot bigger.
You said that a long time ago, right? Like at the time, BFR we were talking about would be, you would want it to take off from like 50 kilometers into the ocean or something, right? Or maybe not 50, but like a long ways away from any homes or anything.
Right. I'm guessing it. I've always guessed that it's the landing part that's going to be the biggest no-no, you know.
But okay.
It's hard to say.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, should we take a quick break? That.
Let's do it.
Let's.
A bit early, but let's. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, we wanted to take just a second to say thanks to all of the fans that watch this channel and give us feedback. And, you know, if it wasn't for that, not just for this thing, but for my channel, Answers with Joe, Everyday Astronaut, Teslanomics, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be able to do this at all. So thank you very much.
I mean, seriously, like literally, if you guys weren't watching this, we wouldn't be doing this. So it's your feedback and your comments, your likes, your subscriptions. I mean, it all really matters. This community is what brings us together.
And one of the coolest parts is when you can join the conversation, such as the Why Don't They Just that gets submitted and all the folks that join us each week to listen live via our Discord server. So we wanted to just let you know about how you can become a part of that and join via Patreon.
That's right. Patreon members get exclusive perks like early access to episodes. They get some behind the scenes things, meetup opportunities. But like Ben said, it's the people actually are listening to our recordings every week and in our chat room live. They get their names in the credits and things like that. That's a really fun way to be able to interact with other people in the community and just especially hang out during this time when you might be looking for more things to do online anyway.
They also get to hear us say stuff that doesn't wind up making it on the air. Stuff that's more naughty, you might say. But anyway, if you would like to join them and join this awesome community, we do appreciate it. You can go to olfpod.com and we'll see you there.
And now back to our ludicrous programming.
So you know what I think would be really cool is if they could land Starship just with your mind.
Whoa.
Someday.
That sounds...
Yeah.
How would they even do that?
The computer's mind does it.
It would do it with Neuralink, friend. Neuralink. The wonder of the future. Future, future.
What's going on with Neuralink?
About 50,000 people sent me, and probably you guys as well, a link. Get it? Because Neuralink.
Nobody likes me, Joe. No one sends me anything.
Except for death threats.
Exactly.
So Neuralink released a new video yesterday. The last time we saw Neuralink, they were showing off how they put some electrodes into a pig's brain so that when you when the pig like touched food, it would send off these little bleeps in the neural activity.
To show that a pig can smell food. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really basically showing
groundbreaking.
That a pig. Well, no, I think it wasn't a smell thing, it was a touch thing. So it was like as it was touching the food with its nose, it was going off. But yesterday they took a drastic step forward, I feel like. They show a monkey. Well, let's just watch this.
I'm getting really scared right now, guys.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen this.
Can you hear the volume, or the voice on this?
Mm-mm. No.
No? Okay. Well,
narrate it for us, please.
Okay, so let me pause this real quick.
What is he doing?
So the monkey has this little tube right here, and you're wondering, is it playing a bassoon? What's going on? It's actually getting like a smoothie, like a banana smoothie or something through this. It's like a reward system. So
okay.
They taught it how to play this little Pong game here.
Like
it's not
classic.
Really Pong, but it's basically you know, it moves the little dot over onto the thing. And every time he does it, he gets a little piece of food. And down here, he's actually controlling it with his hand. So he's not doing this with his mind. He's doing it with his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have him on a Neuralink, and it's like recording and taking in all this information from his hand motion and like, you know, learning to anticipate how certain neurons would fire to get the thing to move where they want it to. Mm-hmm. So this is all a big training thing here, but let's move forward a little bit. Hang on, let me find it. Okay. Let's move forward to here. You notice anything different about this?
No.
Keep playing
Yet.
Well, I don't need to keep playing it. Do you see anything different right now?
Oh,
the thing's disconnected.
It's unplugged.
It is unplugged. So
he's still doing it
with his hand, but they're moving it with his mind.
Why does the background look super different?
To make him feel at home. So he is doing the hand motion, but it's reading the brain signals to the hand and moving it with his mind.
That's pretty high, like dexterity too. Like it's pretty high resolution. It looks very fluid. The same motions.
Yeah.
That his hands.
Hold on
doing.
A second. I'm gonna play conspiracy theorist here. Rewind it a bit. Okay, there you go. Now we're talking. The controller's gone. Okay.
Oh, the controller's gone completely. Oh, so this is... Sorry.
I'm confused by the background because the background looks very suspect here.
Yeah, I think it's like a picture.
Right. But like, see, there's a hole there now? Is he like right up against a plexiglass wall or
it
something?
It looks like it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's probably the tubes coming through that plexiglass.
Well,
right,
just because like how the cable was just suspended in midair at an angle. I'm like, wouldn't it have fallen down? Like it does.
Well, this is a very confusing setup, I think.
Yeah, they don't really describe that there's a plexiglass wall there, but that makes sense.
Let's make it look really bizarre so people can, you know, make conspiracy theories about it.
Yeah, well, of course. So all that was interesting and pretty impressive to me. What I think might be even a little more impressive is right here where he's actually playing Pong. And he's not using his hand at all. This is 100% with his mind.
He's just thinking. Now, which one is he controlling?
The one on the right, I believe. I think, yeah, the voiceover says it's the one on the right.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. Now, Pong is only 2D. I actually would have liked to see the other thing, even though it's unplugged. It still would be interesting for me to see the other thing where he, you know, where
he's seeing him. Regardless, being able to control a complex... So the way this is working is what Neuralink in his brain is feeding a signal to something, and then that something is interpreting those signals as movements for the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, the way this specific task is set up is the Neuralink was reading what his brain was doing when he was moving his hand. So the monkey obviously learned how to use his hand to manipulate the things on the screen, right?
Right.
The monkey had to develop that version of it. You know, his cortex had to learn how to use the mouse or the joystick to control a computer, right? So then once those were up and running and, you know, the monkey knows how to do the thing, then the brain, it can read, you know, what he would be doing with his hand, basically, directly. And that's where the Neuralink with high enough resolution, because it has 10,000 little sensors in there.
But there's a receiver for the Neuralink that's receiving the signal from it and then applying what it thinks right there. I think that bit
on
the ground.
Yeah, that's pulling it up.
Got it, yeah.
So that's the analyzing of all the different
He's not on a PS5 right now, and the PS5 is reading the signal from Neuralink. There's something in between there, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's just insane, though.
Wow.
So that is quite a bit more impressive than a pig nose thing.
Yeah, that is. That's a pretty massive step.
And really, I mean, this is getting really close to the way that Neuralink is going to be used in the beginning, which is for... You can't see me, can you?
Nah. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
For some reason, sometimes my camera goes out whenever I share.
Well, now you made it more obvious.
And now it's not coming back on.
Are they having
2.5 years of? Sorry, go ahead.
Can we submit a request to Neuralink here to not teach them, not like take this to the next level and like give them Call of Duty? I would be really worried if then Planet of the Apes happens essentially, and they're like fully trained, like battle tested, ready to go.
Right. So for me, I feel like this is proving those steps of where it's going to be useful, like where it's going to be actually something. And I think Elon even commented on Twitter saying, you know, this is, we'll be able to have someone, you know, that it can type with their phone faster with their mind than with their thumb soon. And I 100% believe that. Like this is by no means any stretch of like what's capable, you know, what we're capable of. So yeah, just totally makes sense to me.
I actually, literally 2 days ago, finished a book called Interface that is this very similar idea. It's a sci-fi book, so it's fiction, but same concept essentially, very kind of what they call near future sci-fi. So it's not like some, you know, aliens in space and whatever. Like, no, this is like, you know, 20 years out maybe kind of thing.
Right.
And the interesting thing that happened there, and I'm curious how this could go, is... like what you're talking about, a person being able to manipulate an interface that is currently manipulated, like with your mind versus what you currently do with your hands, mm-hmm. versus your mind just directly communicating with the program. So instead of like thinking, let me type these letters out,
right?
Your mind just sending the message directly through SMS or something. You know what I mean? Getting to that, that's where it gets... where you're no longer human. You're like,
superhuman.
You know, you're Job, right? You're plugged in. Your consciousness exists on a computer. And honestly, that, you know, and again, a different book I read, that could be a great path to deep space travel, to interstellar travel. is you right. upload your consciousness to right, a thing definitely. That doesn't decay like a bag of water does, and let it go, you know, to deep space. So
right. Yeah.
Although if you're still conscious the entire time, you're like living for tens of thousands of years. Like, what would it even be like? You know?
Ugh. Yeah, that's insane.
So, Joe, is that the extent of the testing that they're doing? Is making him play Pong, or is there more that they've talked? Anything else on this story that, besides, you know, me not wanting them to now let them play Call of Duty?
Well, all we have right now is what's on this video, which is I'm guessing this is the furthest along they've gotten so far. So I don't know what else they might be testing. But no, what I started to say before my camera got cut off was like, this is getting really close to what Neuralink is really designed for, so that mm-hmm. people, quadriplegics, people with limited mobility can still like interact with your computer. I mean, that's literally moving a cursor around on a screen with your mind. Mm-hmm. To yeah. browse the internet, or maybe even type out things by looking at different keys on the keyboard or something, you know.
Well, like eventually you won't have to look at the keys. You can just think about the keys or think about the words.
Right. But I think in the beginning, yeah. it's going to be a little bit more like mimicking your hand motion yes. with your mind. Yeah.
Yep. I think you're exactly right. At first, I think it's going to be more replacing removing the physical analog, like, you know, input device and replicating mm-hmm. that with your brain patterns.
You know, we've already seen that to some extent, right? Like, you know, originally just typing with each individual digit or whatever, and then now swipe typing, and then now voice typing, you know? And mm-hmm. I think, I don't know about you guys, but me and a lot of my friends, we've just resorted to voice messaging. So I'll just hit record and say something and leave it, and it'll send the audio clip, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I do wonder about why we've fallen into the lowest common denominator of form of communication, which is just pure text, right? Because there's so much that you learn from intonation in a voice or body language of being in person or whatever. Yeah. So I do kind of wonder if that maybe it's just my naive hope that we'll go back to more higher fidelity forms of communication. And maybe this could be a way towards that, you know, that's easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? I think it's funny though, I don't know about everybody else, but I'm moving further and further away from like voice communicating with people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I rarely just pick up the phone and call anybody anymore without texting them first.
And you don't answer when I call. So
I didn't, no, you know, I did not.
That's why I call people because I'm sick of texting. I'm sick of this like low fidelity. I want like the emotion, you know what I mean? The intonation in your voice. I want to hear that beautiful Joe Scott. You know, now that I'm not getting videos every week, I mean, come on.
I'm sorry I had to do that to you, but...
Why don't you just make videos every week?
Why don't they just...
So that I don't lose my flipping mind.
Amen.
Little things like that. So what actually, before I get into why don't they just, I want to pose a question to you guys. Mm-hmm. Because I am not posting this month normally. I'm on my regular schedule on the channel. We talked about that last week, but I am on TikTok now, and I'm taking like old clips and reconverting them into this gross vertical format and putting them out on TikTok. And one of them that I did yesterday, I am getting to a point, I promise, was a clip from the one about the space planes episode where I was talking about the space shuttle. And I basically was saying, like, you know, there were five space shuttles, two of them did crash spectacularly, horribly. And so I said, that's basically a 40% failure rate across the fleet. And a lot of people are taking issue with that. All the actually people have followed me to TikTok,
wouldn't it,
as I was saying
be...
earlier.
Because did some of them relaunch more than once, right? Wouldn't it be the number of launches that failed versus the number that were successful? Are you saying, yeah, so break the math down for me.
So there were 135 missions and two failures across that. So that's more like a 1.5% failure rate across all the missions. But across the fleet, you have five mm-hmm. space shuttles and two of them exploded.
Oh,
so
wow.
across the fleet... To me, that's a 40% failure rate. And
did those fail on their first go, or was that...
No.
I see both sides of this, of course. Because in a way, I don't think... Well, first off, like, none of the failures are really due to the actual orbiter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's almost like a plane crashing because there's a huge crater in the runway, and the plane, like, fell into it or something. Be like, yeah, that plane blew up because, you know, It's like,
but that is splitting hairs a little bit, because the whole system
is the space
is a part of it. Yeah.
In the end, people dead. Okay?
The STS, if you want to call
in,
it that.
In the end, the people that were on board didn't care what the cause.
Well, but I mean, in the same way, though, I guess if 40% of all, like if 737 Maxes, you know, they flew multiple times and they would fail, like you would count that as a failure of the fleet, you know, like, yeah, like,
yeah,
3% of the fleet or whatever the real number, probably more like 0.03 or something, percent of the fleet failed. And I think you're right in saying that 40% of the fleet failed. Yeah, but
so that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I'm like, if you had a fleet of 100 rental cars and 40% of them suffered technical problems that rendered them obsolete, useless, unable to be used anymore, that's a 40% failure rate.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
I think there needs to be a lot of clarification or quantifiers on that. Because, yeah, it makes it sound like the shuttle was 40% failure rate, but really, like, yeah.
I think it's the term failure rate that people don't like.
Yeah.
I clearly didn't word it well because so many people have taken
issue
with it.
But it's engagement, you know?
It's true.
I guess
you're working
true,
that TikTok because now people are commenting, so.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and imagine most of the people on TikTok weren't even alive when the space shuttle was launching. So, you know, this is all, like I remember when the Titanic movie or something came out and they were like, wait a minute, the Titanic was real? Like,
yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I just found out that was, yeah, that's insane.
Oh my God, where was I? I was on something, I think it was Imgur the other day, and there was this guy that was like, have you heard of this musician that makes parody songs of other songs? His name's Weird Al. He's really cool. And I'm like,
yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like offended, you know. Anyway, why don't they just? So
that was the longest interim. Okay, sorry.
So let me share my screen. Let's see what happens this time. So this one comes from Richard on Twitter. He says, can we get an option to have the car blend in the brakes when you let off the accelerator so the regen always feels the same?
Yes.
He's clearly talking about Teslas.
not yes, we can have this, but yes, I want this too.
Because it really throws you off when, like, you're fully charged and,
yes,
and you can't get any regen, and it's like, well, the car's like running out of control.
It shouldn't be up to the driver to know how much the car is going to do what when you let off the gas. That should be consistent no matter what. We've talked about this on the show.
I like that.
Like, I don't care. If you let off the accelerator pedal and you are used to a certain amount of deceleration, it should do that no matter what the state of charge is. If it needs to implement the brakes to do that.
Yeah.
It should be doing that. I don't care.
I like that. Yeah, because it's kind of like, what driving experience do you want? And then we, the computer, will decide how to get you that driving experience. But as far as you're concerned, it's consistent. I like that. I agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you been pulling up to a stoplight when your car was like freshly, fully charged and like you let out the gas and it just was like, oh my God.
You're like, oh crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the worst that I've ever seen, and this had to be a mistake by somebody at Tesla that did this, when the hold mode came out, remember that one?
Yeah,
when it was like, now it's like true one pedal driving. Well, in Jenny's car anyways, she got the software update unbeknownst to her. She didn't even know. She just got in the car and it had done it. And it had defaulted to that new mode. And she does not, she typically would drive in with the creep mode on and in low regen. So more gas car like. And this was dramatic opposite of that. And it was enabled by default. Like it forced her to have that. Mm-hmm. She called me in the driveway, like, something's wrong with my car. I need to take it in or they need to come tow it. Because she had never, she's like, I didn't touch anything. And all of a sudden, well, I don't know what the hell's going on. So, right. So whatever they do, I agree 100%. You should choose your driving mode and it should be like the car figures it out, right? And it should not automatically change on you ever. Like that's really jarring of an experience. That's up there with like how they switched all the icons and buttons around 10 times, you know, and you're like, where I used to go here for music, now it's over here or whatever. Like, some of those changes may be somebody sitting on a computer in an office somewhere going, it looks better if you put it over here. But they're not realizing how big of a deal it is, considering that's, like, you driving, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I agree with this.
Exactly.
Well, we don't have an answer for why don't they just, but we agree with it.
Yeah.
They should is the answer.
Should. They should. Absolutely. Yeah.
1,000% agree.
While this screen is being shared, let's have a moment of silence for DMX and the Duke of Edinburgh, who both died today.
Yeah.
Is that Prince Philip?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The Queen's husband.
Uncle Phil. I miss him.
I don't know the guy or anything, but it's kind of a big deal.
Sad, though. Yeah, both.
Well, he was an electric car owner, so you know he's one of us.
Was he?
I mean, guys like us that own electric cars. You know, Prince Philip and us. You know, we're in the same category. You know, go to a restaurant, we get the same table.
We have another one, don't they? Just from.
Let me
keep comparing us to Prince Philip for a second.
Okay. I mean, I'm about as old as him on internet time, but so this is from Nate Pix in Discord, one of our Discord peoples. He says, why don't they just do a belly flop maneuver at like 5K, so 5,000 meters? Wait, five
kilometers.
Feet.
No?
Five kilometers. Yeah, okay. Cut the engines, then do a landing burn on Starship. Waste fuel, but once flip and land, he's kind of leaving out some words here.
I'm lost.
Once the flip and land is perfected, then consolidate the steps. So he's basically saying, why don't they kind of do smaller leaps until they get the landing done?
That's the whole video that I'm working on. So,
Stay
tuned. I'll save my answer for that. But let me do say one thing about it. None of the landing attempts for Starship have been a failure because of the actual flip.
Hmm.
You know, like the flip itself isn't like starting the flip earlier wouldn't have prevented any of the failures.
Hmm.
You know, so that right there should just be like, well, that's not a good enough reason. That's not going to alleviate any issues. All of them failed for reasons it's not because of slosh, because of the flip. So, I mean, regardless, I mean, the flip, starting the flip earlier would not have prevented any of these issues.
Hmm.
So.
People are disagreeing with you in Discord.
Well, I guess there was slosh in 10 with the helium. But again, starting it earlier would not have prevented any of these issues.
Why don't they just not do the flip? How about that?
Then just land like a falcon.
Well, I guess you get back to the bubble pit idea. The ball pit.
Well, I guess, yeah. Well, I guess, with SN10's failure, I guess, yes, if the fuel had time to settle and they were back to vertical and they let it fall for a while and have the fuel tank settle, they probably could have, it probably would have potentially been fine. Yeah.
I just still can't believe that people will be riding on this one day and it's going to do that. I just still, that's going to be so bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but speaking of bananas, you know what's packed like a bunch of bananas?
Mm.
As right now?
Neuralink headquarters? No.
Neuralink headquarters.
The ISS.
Yeah!
Which is often compared to a banana.
So, MS-18 launched and is docked with the ISS. There are now 10 people on board the International Space Station, which is nuts. They were already pretty busy when there was 7 on the ISS because of Crew 1 and the 3 on the Soyuz for MS-17. So if you think about it, you know, I was surprised already. So I have a lot of questions about this. I haven't even had time to really try to find all the answers here. So they will be up there until the crew of 17 goes down, but I don't actually know exactly when that is. So 10 people on board for a while. They were already sleeping for a while. I believe it was Mike Hopkins, the commander of Crew 1, was already sleeping in the Dragon capsule because they didn't have additional sleeping quarters. Now they have 3 more people, and I'm pretty sure he does not have a sleeping quarter on the ISS, but I still don't exactly know where all of them are going to be. You know, the other 3 people, they might be sleeping in Dragon, and I have no idea. In Soyuz, if someone knows, let me know, but this is the most people that have ever been on board the International Space Station at the same time since the space shuttle, because the space shuttle had I believe the record is 13 people on board because there's 7 on the shuttle and there were 2 Soyuz docked to it at one time. So there's 13 people kind of in the same space station at the same time once, but 10 But that was a short-term thing. You know, this is pretty impressive. Yeah, but and those seven people for the shuttle, that they would sleep on the shuttle. So yeah. This is substantial.
So you're saying that there were 13 just between the shuttle and the Soyuz? Like, they weren't even on the ISS? Like, was that pre-ISS?
No, that was on ISS.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep, so that's still, I mean, that's a pretty big deal now, because if you think about it, you know, the shuttle had a lot of habitable space too. You know, it was a it was big. People forget how big just the crew quarters alone were. So having, you know, 13 people on board with the shuttle was like, those are substantial size, you know, substantial amount of infrastructure there that was included with the shuttle being docked to it. So, I mean, 10 on board right now with just two Soyuzes and a Dragon is probably pretty cramped feeling.
They couldn't pressurize the cargo bay of the space shuttle, could they?
They couldn't pressurize the cargo bay, but they did sometimes fly with a attached, like, extra experimental module that was that was inside the cargo bay that allowed, like, it tripled the interior volume, basically, so that they could use most of the cargo space for experiments and stuff like that.
Okay, I gotcha. So it's like a habitation module inside the cargo bay, kind of.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was, like, that really made it just a one stop, go up in space, fly, you know, do your experiments and do all this cool stuff built in. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still go back to Skylab, though.
It was don't we all?
I don't know the exact measurement of how wide it was, but it was like the second stage of a Saturn V, and like they could literally just like fly around from one thing, like flips in the air.
It was the third stage of a Saturn V, basically with no engine. So it's 7 meters wide.
Seven.
Oh, wow.
Which is huge. Yeah, they could run like circles around it, you know, like a hamster. Like a hamster wheel.
And they're like doing it from head to feet, like
you could get stuck in the middle of it. That was good use of that one. Yeah, you can get stuck. I mean, you can do that even on the ISS. Have you seen those? I showed it once where they basically let an astronaut go right in the very middle, and it's really hard to get to a wall. You know, you basically have to swim through the air. That was apparently much easier on the on Skylab, because it's a lot of space in the middle where it's like, if you get up there, you know, you could get yourself stuck. But
I mean, that's what Starship's gonna be like,
even more so.
Yeah,
but they'll have, like, you know, they'll have,
depending
a lot
on how they do the interior,
exactly,
of course, but, yeah.
The interior will probably have a lot of big things.
It's gonna be a big open space.
Yeah. Speaking of SpaceX and big open spaces and stuff like that, SpaceX's big open space cover, the fairing, has some notable changes. They flew for the second time now without the thermal protective system on the nose. The little, there's normally like a Inconel or some metal. I don't remember. Maybe Trevor, do you remember the metal on the nose of the fairing? There's normally been this thermal protective system on the very nose of the fairing for Falcon 9 missions. Here you can kind of see it on the back of the boat.
Unobtainium.
It probably is. But the most recent Starlink mission had none. This is a newer version 2.0 fairing where it has a little bit different vent holes and stuff. And yeah, for whatever reason, that's not really much news behind it other than it happened and we don't really know why. So there you go. I don't know.
Like taking radar out of the autopilot. You're like, I don't know why he did that.
Did you see that tweet? By the way, Elon tweeted while we're recording, doubling down on that, like talking more about it. So
yes.
Yeah. So he is reaffirming.
What did the tweet say? Bring it up here. Yeah.
The tweet did say, almost ready with FSD beta version 9. Step change improvement is massive, especially for weird corner cases and bad weather. Pure vision, no radar.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And this is just in the U.S., right? Or North America, maybe?
I'm not sure.
Like, we haven't seen this in the U.K. or something on the other side of the road or anything like that.
I think you're right. But asking why no radar, I'm realizing maybe radar is a lot of the reason for those phantom braking issues and stuff.
Hmm. No, wouldn't it be the opposite? Because radar is actually detecting objects, right?
It can have weird, you know, it could reflect off something It could be, because it's not very high resolution, you know, like a radar beam is basically, it's kind of a dumb thing, really, you know, it could err on, I'm seeing this, you know, soda can on the ground reflecting back because it, you know, had a concave thing or something, reflect back as this huge object or something and make the car panic brake.
Whatever they can do to avoid phantom braking will be great, because that is, I personally, I've got used to it, but like Jenny does not use autopilot at all. She doesn't even know how to enable it. And if we're driving with the family and I put in autopilot, she is not happy ever.
Yeah.
She's like, no, thank you. Don't want it. Because it just has so many little things like that, mm-hmm. you know, where it like slightly will swerve or, you know, whatever for no reason. Yeah, yep. Whatever they can do to fix that, make it more reliable. And it's funny because I've driven, you know, Super Cruise now, and autopilot is definitely better. Like, definitely, definitely better. So it's a hard problem to solve, I would say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but those are kind of some fun little updates, though.
Hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. What kind of updates you guys have going on?
Joe, in our you're lives? Enjoying your break?
Joe's
TikTok.
He's busier now than ever.
What's your status? Are you trying to relax a little bit? Are you getting some relaxing in, or are you just replacing video production with other work?
Making patio furniture.
Literally. Yeah. I mean, I've been spending a lot of time on the patio. I got a little Sonos Move speaker.
Oh yeah. Do you like it?
I like it. It took a little while to get it all set up in the system.
Is that the portable one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that.
It's got like an 11-hour charge on it or something. Wanted to just have a speaker installed out there, but the ones that they sell like require it's more involved than just like one of the other Sonos speakers.
And they're like $700 or $800.
Yeah, yeah.
Per speaker.
Yeah. Right. Like, so dude. I just have that Move thing. So like it's sitting around by the door. I just kind of grab it and walk out. It's got a little handle on it and just put it out and plays music. But I've been sitting out there. It's been nice weather. Putting together patio furniture today. I was staining this cabinet that I built that is janky as hell and terrible, but,
prototype.
No, I mean, I'm still staying busy, but I'm just kind of taking the time and doing the thing.
Nice.
Sounds so,
so
nice.
Jealous. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
No, that's great. What about you, Ben?
I don't know. I'm doing the podcast every week. That's what I'm doing. I think I'm still making YouTube videos. I've got too many things going on. Next week, I'm thinking I want to talk with my buddy who's a computer vision expert about like switching to vision only over radar and all that. Cause I'd love to get his perspective on it. You know, he literally has a PhD in computer vision, and he has this big online academy where he has all these thousands of people and whatever. So, it'd be kind of curious just to catch up with him again. So maybe we'll do something like that. But this stuff is really interesting to me, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
And Tim, you're back home. How's the house?
Yep. Yeah, I was curious how the house was when you got back.
Pipes burst.
Great.
Or everything okay?
Everything's great.
Yeah okay.
Just loved it. Felt so good, honestly. And, you know, again, the place down in Texas, it's nothing. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not home really yet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I like, there's a reason I still live in Iowa. You know, there's a reason.
Yeah.
It was really good. I haven't seen my sister and her family for 3.5 months, almost 4 months, and that's the longest I've ever not seen them. So for me, that was just really good to see the kiddos and everything like that. So I mean, just the home's good. Everything, it just feels good, and I needed it.
That's awesome.
I think just emotionally.
Yeah, nice.
Good for you.
So I'm excited. I'm gonna be, the only problem is there's gonna be some construction going on here to fix a couple of things, and that's gonna be hard for like when I'm making videos and stuff.
Yeah.
That definitely be too hard.
Welcome to my world the last few months.
Yeah.
I've got a guy demoing a room right now.
Yep.
So I've never left my house like unattended for that long before. So I just kind of assumed when you got back, it was going to be like overgrown with, you know, nature reclaiming your home or something, you know?
Well, the animals moved in.
Yeah, no.
There's a deer in your front living room.
My sister and her family would check in like almost every week or something, you know, and just make sure everything's okay. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it was great. They live only like a mile away, so it's not a big deal.
So. How many cornfields is that?
24 hectares of...
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll see you guys in...
Our Ludicrous Future.
Hey guys, thanks so much for watching and for listening. We really do appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, and if you want more of us, you can consider becoming a Patreon member where you can get early access to episodes, you can listen to us record live, join our awesome Discord community, or get your name in the show credits.
So head over to olfpod.com/Patreon to learn more. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.